Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Can we lift our hands to heaven and just bless the name of the Lord and give him praise from the depth of our heart? And I want us to honor the one who sits upon the throne forever and ever. The one whose words are yes and they are amen. The one who stands out in his class who alone is called Jehovah. I want us to bless him. There is none like you, Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. We bless you, Father. And we honor you from the depth of our heart, dear Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Amen. Just before you sit down, I want us to please help me honor my dear wife, Pastor Mimi. I want us to do so well. Amen. Amen. Now, listen. Please celebrate yourselves and be seated. Thank you so much, Streams of Life. Thank you. God bless you. Help me honor them, please. On Tuesday, if you have not listened to that message, you should please find time to listen to it. I introduced a very important subject titled what? Wonders in Heaven. From the book of Joel, chapter number 2, verse 28. Joel 2, verse 28 says, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servant and upon the handmaid in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." But verse 30 is a very significant verse. I was studying the book of Joel when I saw that my attention was called to dwell on this verse. It said, "I will show wonders in heaven and in the earth." And one of the things we have been able to establish is that, in fact, the Bible said, book of Isaiah, if I'm not mistaken, 55, that as the heaven is far from the earth, so is my way from your ways and my method. That's the word there. My ways from your ways. So it means that, and the distance now between the heavens and the earth, I've said this again and again, that it cannot be measured in kilometers. You don't calculate a realm by space. The distance between the heaven and the earth can be measured in many things. One, in wisdom. I don't have time to explain. Two, are you with me? In realities. When the Bible said that men began to build a tower to reach into the heavens and called it the Tower of Babel, they did not have the physical infrastructure to build like the replica of the, what's the tallest building now in the world? I think it's in Dubai, the Burj Khalifa, something like that. Am I correct? And we used to have the World Trade Center that used to be the tallest building in the world until it was smashed down. The Bible was not talking about building in terms of height. It was the generation of men who had learned sorcery and they were going to begin to break into realms. What passes for wonders in heaven is not the same thing that passes for wonder on earth. Because the wisdom that governs the both realms are not the same. And I give you an instance. Ephesians chapter number 3. I'm touching back a few of the things I've touched so that we can go further. Ephesians 3 verse 10. Ephesians 3:10. It said, now to the intent, or to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Can you give us this in Amplified Translation? Brings it out in a different light. Amplified rendition, please. He said the purpose is that through the church, the complicated, someone say more complicated, multi-sided or many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite varieties and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers and to the authorities, that is principalities and powers in the heavenly spheres. So the Bible is saying that God wants to use the church to display that there are aspects of his wisdom people don't know. Sometimes, when you read different books, particularly you read the Bible. All right, and let me lay the foundation. This is a doctrinal house. Everything you want to say, oh, it's so deep. The depth of everything must find their roots in the Bible for them to pass the test of doctrine. And we are not permitted to use any extra-biblical books. I've heard things like there are some books that should make it to the Bible, but they forgot. All scriptures is given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for what? Correction. God is too detailed to make a mistake. And if he's going to make a mistake, it will be about the compilation of the Bible. The devil is a liar. So look at it. Go back to that scripture. So what the Bible is saying is this. God wants to use the church. Said God wants to use the church to display his wisdom. How many of you were in church on Tuesday? Okay, we not many of you who are here now were in church on Tuesday. Can I take it a step deeper? Can we try chew some bones? Because, can we try chew some bones? Well, dear house, I didn't hear your yes. It's like only those in front are saying so. Okay. Let me give you an instance. God can give you a word of prophecy. And yet, the word is for you, but it is concealed from you. You have the word, but it is concealed. Because knowing it fully can abort the word. If you know it fully, some of them you will run away and say it means that my life as I planned it is over. But it will give you, you will be excited, meaning that it's like a scroll given to you and just the first chapter is open. You will be excited, oh, God has said this and that. But they are many-sided. What I'm saying to you, it is not everything God is saying that you heard, that you actually know. And that's why sometimes he doesn't start saying new things. He just unraveled what he has said. The wisdom of God is so powerful that the devil can hear a prophecy and still not understand. Let me give you an instance. Let's look at the book of Genesis. You know what happened in Genesis 3? Man fell. God came down. Let's check a bit of some code, some hidden things in Genesis 3. Can we quickly check a few things? Now you notice the serpent came, was more subtle than any beast of the field and all that. And he said unto the woman, as God said, we should not eat. He asked wrong questions to get wrong answers. And the woman said, God has said we should eat of all the trees in the garden. But there's a tree called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Said we should not eat it. You see, the wisdom of God preserves, the wisdom of man corrupts. What did I say? Yeah. What did the wisdom of God say in Genesis 2? Don't eat. What did the wisdom of man say in Genesis 3? Don't touch. It is in the wisdom of man we attempt to stretch the truth beyond what it is. And when you stretch the truth, it doesn't become more truthful. It becomes a lie. The devil avoids people who know the truth. And I'm going to tell you why. But God did so many things in Genesis 3. Let's start the reading from verse 9. First, Bible says, and the Lord called unto Adam and said to him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee not to eat? The one who is the all-knowing God, who made the heavens and the earth, is asking a question that he doesn't know. When God said, Adam, where thou? That he didn't see him. What brought him? So God had to find out that you have eaten it. He knew from the moment. He said, not even the hair on your head will drop without God approving it. That's how meticulous he is. How much more the only man whom he had created disconnected. You don't understand. If virtue can flow from Jesus, and Jesus said, who touched me? You think Adam can die spiritual death? And God is saying, my back is scratching me. What's happening? He knew. But why was he asking him? Opportunity for redemption. How far is this problem? Have you added lies to it? Why are you naked? Say, I'm afraid though. Have you talked and said you not touch? The woman. Let's jump a bit. Verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did it. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because you have done this. Are you seeing that he did not ask the serpent? Somebody say wisdom. You didn't talk now. You know why he couldn't ask him? There is no space for repentance for the devil. I wanted to say a statement. But maybe when I'm talking to leaders, pastors, I may remember. you know. Why can't God forgive the devil? Is God unforgiving? How come he said forgive? But the devil can't be forgiven. You think you have problem. What have you built that you have problem? You are crying. God, who is perfect in all his ways, made the heavens and the earth. The Bible said, and there was war in heaven. Not riot. War. You don't understand. War that was so powerful that over 30% of uncountable angels rebelled against him. The devil thought he had seen it all. He said, I will now be like the Most High and set my throne in the side of the north. I will just put it in one code. The higher the access, the more the stakes. Just leave it at that point. I hope you know God could kill him and say, Lucifer, cease to exist. It's just one word. But when he fell, God did not kill him because he doesn't want the motivation for serving him to be fear. Listen, I want to show you something about the wisdom of God now. One of the things God does is that God allow rebellion to have its full course. He's not agitated. He's not insecure. Before the devil began to preach to those angels that fell, he knew when it entered his heart. When he plucked it, before she ate it, one angel could have slapped the hand. But he gave you will so you can choose him or the alternative. The devil was among the few angels that had will. And that's why he could rebel. Your worship is not powerful if you can't choose not to worship. And that's why when tough time shows up, that's actually the best moment to offer the sweetest praise. Because that's the point where you have all reasons not to. Am I going too deep? So God doesn't he allow, if you meditate, just meditate on this, and there's a limit to, because your head will explode. Just meditate on the likeness of God's heart. How will David see Bathsheba and called her? God kept quiet. Slept with her. God kept quiet. Got to around the peace season, she will give birth. He killed Uriah. God kept quiet. Then God came to judge the case. Then God still came back and said, I'm going to bring the next king from her again. It's a wonder, because the devil feels when God judges a matter, you become useless in that area. And that's what you too feel. Let's say somebody was disciplined in church. You are doing this. What you assume is that person is finished. But that fellow is just starting. Because God used the foolish things to confound the wise. I'm trying to go somewhere. Just showing you the wisdom of God, because what I want to teach today is about that. So God was with them in the garden. There are many things we don't discuss when we read Genesis 3. One of it is the time, the timing of God's appearance. Because what you see is God who came to judge. See, when you read Genesis 2, how God made man, Genesis, how God made the earth, Genesis 3, sin and judgment. Genesis 3 is not sin and judgment. It is sin and restoration. Because he had to come before they would go and eat the tree of life. That's not the God who wants to do away with man completely. Before he even told them to leave the garden, he killed an animal and clothed them with it as a sign that Christ is going to come as a sacrificial lamb and his righteousness will be on you and he will take away your iniquity. Even in their rebellion that they feel they were destitute, they were still the most pampered creature on earth, because the devil didn't have that chance. What the devil thought will happen is that they were recruited on his side. You don't understand what that means. And that's why hell is a dangerous place. Because anyone who goes to hell says, I choose to be recruited on his side. What he couldn't do at the beginning. If I'm going too far, tell me. For instance, you are telling me with your silence, so I will begin to cut down. So, God said to the woman, verse 13, what is this that thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent began. And God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and the dust shall you eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. I will bruise your head. It shall bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. And unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow in your conception. In sorrow you will bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. And unto Adam he said, because you have done this, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife, you have eaten of the tree which I command you, saying you should not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow you shall eat all the days of your life. Thorns and tissues. Let's look at two wisdom there. Can I have a man and a woman, please? Let me have Adejoke come. Take up, please, come. Please stand here. Please stand here. Woman, why did you do this? The serpent beguiled me. Serpent, you are cursed. Say you, because you hearken to his voice, I will put enmity between you and him. Is that a blessing? It is. You will never be friends. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. In sorrow, you will give birth. That's a tough one. I will just give it to you in a code. Maybe there's a part three, I might talk about it. It is important that once rebellion is in motion, multiplication should be slowed down. But let's leave that. Because that scripture does not apply for the new man. Imagine Eve giving birth to the kind of Cain, 5. Said, and then I'm going to make sure that your desire is to be to your husband. Uh-huh. He will rule over you. That's a comma. He said, you. You have done this. Cursed is the ground. Not you. The ground. For your sake. The statement of hardship there is to make them see the need for a Messiah. But two words were hidden. First question is, why did God curse the ground? Because of the seed. Why couldn't God curse the woman? Women don't have seed, but also because of the seed. Because he was going to speak in a language that the devil being there will be confused. The devil was confused. This matter, he was confused for over 4,000 years. His eyes opened later, and I'll show you when. So he said, the devil was there, and God said, I'll put enmity between you and the serpent. The serpent will bruise your heel, and your seed will bruise the head of the serpent. No, the serpent will bruise the heel of your seed. Your seed will bruise the head of the serpent. The devil was looking. If God had directed that statement to Adam, the devil knows what to do. That your seed will bruise my head. You give birth, let's see. But to the woman. But because somebody will later capture it, call Isaiah, that a virgin will conceive. And she will give birth to a son. His name shall be called what? Wonderful. You see, that's part of his name. Wonderful. That is, he's going to be a wonder. How was Wonderful born? Wonderful was born where they give birth to sheep. The most important statement ever made in the Bible, the fulfillment, will be in the manger. Manger then is not different from manger now. That's one part of society that does not upgrade. Where they keep sheep is where they keep sheep. And they smell. Sit down for a while. So, God said that statement. The devil was, what is this one now? But he still set his eyes on the woman. And he still has his eyes on her. And that's why religion targets her. And that's why she's the one who carries the pain of wars. And many of them. I don't want to go into all that. But please pay attention. Even the Pharisees and the scribes were convinced. We know the Messiah is coming. But when he comes, he'll be born in the house of the king. Because what the Messiah, they believe, that what the Messiah is coming to do is to now rescue us from the Roman Empire, and then he's going to. Are you following what I'm saying? But the Messiah was born in a place where they say, can anything good come from? What is the name of the Messiah? Wonderful. Somebody say wonderful. Say it again now. Wonderful. Say it loud and clear. Wonderful. I'm showing you Jesus. Because some of you have quietly sat down and say, if God really mean much with my life, I should not have been born in the kind of home I was born. Thou wonderful, don't complain about the manger. Don't complain about the manger. If God really had a plan for my life, should I be the one that will go to a polytechnic? Do you know what a polytechnic is? What is a polytechnic? And who told you? And this is what I'm saying. It's not also me saying don't further. But who told you, first and foremost, sir, that your school determines your placement in destiny? So I want us to look at it from another angle today. What are we still looking at? The wisdom of. Talk to me now. The wisdom of. He said it. They heard it. But they don't know it. The devil heard it now. What I'm telling you is that when we begin to operate in this wisdom, we can give national prophecies that demons cannot interrupt in a coded language. Oh, let's leave that. Because wisdom has not collided with the prophetic yet, but they must meet. They must meet. That we will say statements, they are locked, but yet they are heard. I was in Ife. I asked a young man to see me. He said to me, he said, Apostle, the last time you called me, I said, when? He said, 4 years ago. That's how long it takes for me to just call. He said, you just called me and said to me, somebody will give you a laptop. Go and learn graphics. Have a wonderful day. I said, I don't know. He said, a week later, somebody called me and said, take my laptop. He said, I remember your words. I went to learn graphics. He said, now I'm at a season that God had given me instruction to stay back and learn. He said, the only way we are surviving now is because I learned that graphics. And now I'm working with international organizations. See, that's how my mother is feeding and myself. What is wisdom in go and learn graphics? The wisdom is that the word came without any announcement that a season is coming. This will become the boat of rescue.
Yes, sir.
Men who despise prophecies, they actually forsake their own mercy. I can't remember I said anything. And when I saw him, he was doing fine. Listen to what I'm about to tell you now. Be careful of the disobedience that is triggered in your heart because God did not speak with all his mouth. Be careful. Particularly when he says it without any promise attached to it. Do this. Yes, Lord. I hate that girl. She's not my kind of person. She's not. That is your wife. Say, God cannot give us what we don't like. Basic wisdom. Basic wisdom. That one is written. Everybody knows that one. But complicated wisdom. He told the prophet to go and marry an harlot. Or should we stay with Meek? Basic wisdom. God cannot tell me to go and sit down and just be praying. Basic wisdom. complicated wisdom. He can. And he will not show up in a hurry to defend you. And there will be no resources to prove that God was the one who said so. You will not have the resources because at that point he will not allow you use material things as a yardstick of obedience. So what is your proof that it is God who sent you? What's your proof? For 30 years, there was no proof that Jesus is the Messiah. He didn't preach a message. God became flesh. What was he doing for 30 years? And that's why I said, basic wisdom is in the realm of logic. It's logical. Complicated wisdom is very stupid. I sat down with Mommy Gloria Bamiloye. She told me, she said I had a better suitor. But God said he's the one. And there was nothing to show for it. And that's why in leading people, let me just say this to leaders. If what God is cooking is bigger than you, don't use your philosophy to lead people's life. Accept that you are at a junction where, you know, when somebody is carrying sacrifice, the herbalist that paid the sacrifice will get to a junction and say, it's you alone. No. Don't look back. Maybe that might be an extreme example. Or like somebody who is getting married. No matter how much we love you, you are married today, tomorrow. When the couple enter that vehicle to go to wherever they want to go, it's their business now. The rest of us will look how to move and go to our location. You are on your... There comes a point that you realize it's a privilege to lead you, but there are things God is saying to you, I don't know. And what is the only advice I have for you? Be sure you heard God. Because in the days of his complicated wisdom, even your leaders will learn through your life. Everything is not blue and black and white. Sometimes it's deeper. That's the truth. Sit down for a minute. Yeah. How do you explain to a man who has waited for a child since 75, we knew at least. And we also knew that at 99, God said, walk before me and be perfect. So he had crossed 99. Then the child came. And God said, go and kill him. No, what sense is in it now? What I'm telling you, you see, let me break it down. What I'm telling you is that if you were alive in the days of Jesus, because Jesus was wonder, you'll be among those who say crucify him. The reason you think you are good is because of the Holy Ghost. It took selected men who have been selected from the foundations of the world to follow him. You people are not allowing me to say what I want to say. I wanted to say something. What I'm telling you is that it is not everything we fight that is wrong. Some are just beyond the wisdom exposed to you. Do you want to last in God's agenda? Always ask God, what is your perspective about this? Always ask. Don't jump into conclusion. When you jump into conclusion, you won't arrive safely. You won't arrive safely. Don't jump. Ask. So let's look at it. I use the example of Job. A very nice man, living his life. True? Everything was going well. Enjoying his life. The problem began when God made boast of him. If you ask the man who is having the problem, he will be saying, I don't know if God is angry with me. I'm saying there are times God is not angry with you. He's actually proud of you. And that's why you are in problem. Because what you see as problem is actually a light affliction that should prepare you for something more weighty. How many of you have lost things before? Only to later come in life and discover that the loss was a gain. And you cried when you lost it. But you now discover that your life would have been very shallow without the loss. And that's why I said you can't call a thing a problem until you see the fruit. Oh, why should this woman lose her child? Sincerely, we don't have answers. And pastors, you can't have answers for every problem. It's not everything you have answers for. I've seen cases you get to counseling, there's no word. What you can just say is God will strengthen you, man. Because, let me tell you the part you don't want to hear. Because the reason you are convenient what I'm teaching is because something is telling you that, yes, we can't confront the problem until we see the fruit it bears, meaning that later we'll now mature to see the fruit it bears and all that. I'm saying this one is that you may even die not seeing the fruit it will bear. Okay. Because that's what the Bible said in Hebrews 11. That these all died, not obtaining the promises. It means that for Isaiah to prophesy that a virgin will give birth, he died being seen as a fool. There are times that a prophet may do ministry and none of his prophecies has come to pass in his lifetime. What is he in his lifetime? A false prophet. It didn't make sense. All the things David was saying, and the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right, what is the Lord said to my Lord? And that's why you have to make a decision at some point. Do you want to blow? Or you want God to use you for strategic duties? The desire to pursue what others are pursuing will have to die first. Okay, sit down. Let me tell you what I wanted to say. What I'm telling you is that, let's say for instance, you start out ministry, and there's something you heard that, we know one day we're also going to break through, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. It's good, it's brilliant. But you will not enter into it until you begin to obey God from a perspective of, even if we don't get there, I will still do this. And I'm ready to take the kind of decision that men will not be popular for. Because hope is good, but hope is dangerous. For instance, now, you can be believing God to a level that I know things will change. And you are saying that you've put your calendar. that in the next 2 years, 3 years, things will start changing. So what is happening is that all the statement of faith that you are speaking, it is known both in heaven and in hell. It is time bound. That it is not actually faith. It is, if it doesn't happen by this time. So faith now begins when you cross that timeline. So how do you clear the road that there will be no delay? Don't give God clock to work with. I will obey you and I trust you. Period. Even if you will ask me to leave this church today and tell me that I'm to go to the village, the man that will obey that is one who never had any hope of being popular. I'm talking about the wisdom of God. I have not gone anywhere. I want to, let me give an instance. Let me give an instance. And this will be an interesting instance. Pastor Jacob, please come. Are you okay? Please come again. Let's assume okay, Pastor Jumoke, okay, come, join them. Stand behind her. I want to show you how God works. This is a man. He is the father of this lady. But this is the stepmother of this lady. He will come around. The stepmother is maltreating her, doing things that are wicked. And the girl is saying, fight for me now. Are you not my father? But when he comes, he will look into the matter and see the areas where she has the tendency of being a bad child and her discipline. And the girl will grow up saying, my father doesn't love me. And this man knows, if I should begin to fight this woman because of her, she can poison him. Can poison her. And she will die. The way to save her is to look like I'm on her side. So that she can now become an instrument of purification. I don't mind her growing up not liking me. That is a father's wisdom. Has it ever looked like God is cooperating with the devil to afflict you? And you look at your life and say, I know this is affliction, but God, where are you? And it looks like his silence endorses it. And they will now even have the guts to say, do my work. But sometimes if you get what you are asking for at this level, you won't survive it. And when you become so bad, this person will say, I've always known she's a bad child. And God will look like he's here. Just so his own can mature. You may be angry. But without God taking that posture, you will not even mature to become the man that can be anything. Who was afflicting Job? Huh? The devil. When God will finally speak, what did he say? Keep quiet. Give yourself like a man. I was thinking, oh, say, Job, relax. It's been, there's something we are doing. No. Who is it that speak with darkened counsel in my ear? Greet yourself like a man. I will ask you questions, you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? If you were Job and you need the conversation earlier, you will say, what's happening? But that's God. Because he's on his way giving, about to give him more than what he has lost. But there is a kind of man that must receive it. What I'm trying to tell you is that there are certain things God wants to do in your heart that if he should wait for you to mature, 10 years, he may not have done it. The devil can orchestrate breakup, but the breakup is actually the fastest route for God to do what he wants to do.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Because some of you are angry with God.
And that's what is happening to the atheists. If God is real, why is this happening? But God is God and is never in a hurry to prove. He has the whole of eternity to prove. You think he will prove in 2 years? When you said God called you to ministry, your parents said no. What you concluded is that God will do it, I will show them. What if? What if? No, what if? What if you never show them? No. We have to be ready to accept the whole package. That's why I said we do strong meat. I said, what if you never show them? Oh, sister, I want to marry you. I may not have anything now, but I'll give you the word. What if you can't give her the word? Why don't you go for the one who doesn't want the world? Oh, sorry. I'm careful. I'm not destroying your faith. I'm actually building it. Because true faith is not an expectation of a season that is coming. True faith is it that come to him must know that he is. True faith is knowing God as I am. Then he is the rewarder of them that what? There's no timeline to the reward. What is the rewarder? Until you get to the point where you are not trying to use your breakthrough to pepper people that I told you. I told you I would make it. I told you I'm coming back big. I told you I'm coming back to buy this entire village. Because part of the requirement for growth is that the part that I want to prove will have to die before the breakthrough can come. So let's investigate a bit. Sit down. See, looking at wonders in heaven. Before I show you what I want to show you, how bad was the fall of man? How bad was it? It was very bad. The fall of man meant that man was completely alienated from God. It meant that man was doomed. Man could not unite with God. Man has been separated from God. And in fact, there is a way Paul put it when he was speaking to the Romans. So we read Romans chapter number 3. Romans 3. Let me, for the sake of time, we're going to jump so I can show you where we start from. Romans 3, are you there? Now let's start reading from verse 10. Now this was the state of man during the fall. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Yes? There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Quickly. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of hasp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things
So we know that what things soever what the Lord said, he said to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and every world and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified. Man was in a state where he could not be justified. Condemned criminal. And it was just a matter of time before the nature of sin will implode man. It will rupture. It will self-destruct. Man could not be united to God by himself. Because it was man who sinned. And man should pay, but man couldn't. Because all that was born from Adam were born with the nature of sin.
So God became what he created. God was in a woman's womb, wrapped with amniotic fluid, feeding through the placenta. God for 9 months. God was breastfed. Think about it. The kind of woman who will be able to carry God for 9 months. Back him. And maybe one time he says, sit down, then sit down. Spank him. God. That woman needed prayer. So before she was born, God has called intercession people to intercede for the woman before she was born. Anna, the prophetess. The husband had died before Mary was born. If you ask Anna, they will go to the temple and say she's the one that the spirit of the house is not seen in her. The mandate of the ministry is not seen in her. She's just going backwards, praying. But those who are talking will only be saved because of her prayer. Another very old man was there too, Simon. What's wrong with these two old ragged guys? Pray. Because God will become man. And they must not have miscarriage. They must be well aligned. You may probably not understand. If you see where a woman has to give birth, you want to think twice before you marry. That's mild. But imagine that the first thing that was opening her up was not sexual intercourse. A whole child. And it will happen where? In the manger. Where they can be infected. God doesn't think the way you think. And then he gave birth to him. It was the wise men who acted foolish. The Bible didn't call them wise men. You are the one who called them three wise men. They were shepherds from the east. But what they did wasn't wise. They went to the palace. Say, a king has been born here. The king said, go and look for him, man. Give him the gift. Come back and tell me where he's born. So I can go. And they would want to go back. Until God said, pass the other side, my friend. How stupid can that be? Huh? They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And Herod was going to kill him. And God could not say, we'll send 12 legions. He said, run with him.
I'm saying the wisdom of God will make sure you go through normal process so you don't feel special.
Because when you feel too special, you die on time. See, because of, was that not what the devil was telling Jesus? You are special now. Are you not the Son of God? Jump from this mountain. But part of the process was that he shouldn't feel special. When John saw him coming, say, no, I'm not worthy to baptize you. Those who knew him screamed every time they saw him. You know when those demons saw him? Jesus, has the time come for you to send us into abyss? Say, keep quiet. Say, no, please, don't send us into abyss now. Just tell us to enter those sheep. Those pigs. Please. And he said, go. And all of them enter that sheep, those pigs, and drown them. All of them. That's what they wanted to do to the person. But they couldn't. It can never make sense that they will hold on now. If I come around to Sphere of Light Church, your pastor comes to meet me and says, so sir, these are the things we've been doing, these are the plans, this. Imagine me coming here this morning and the first thing your pastor is saying, Apostle, what do they call you? Kneel down there. I say, I'm saying you should kneel down. You are looking at me. Go on the head. And somebody also came from the back. Apostle, I'll be killing up once here. What do they call you? We say, kneel down there. Am I dreaming? But the one who made the heavens and the earth, they could cover his eyes and slap him and open. Prophesy, who slapped you? The most significant event in the history of humanity was playing out. But if you ask them, he was a common criminal. But that's the most significant event ever. They dragged him, not with boxers, naked. We can only imagine what would be going on in heaven. If Stephen was being killed and he said, I saw one standing. You know, we can only imagine what would happen. All the angels, Michael, the prince of the angels, one who could draw a sword and the whole earth would perish. And God will say, shield your sword. And I could imagine him shivering. And say, what are they doing? And some archangels will say, unleash us. Unleash us. And God himself will have to turn his back in sorrow. All the cherubims are looking. Just one angel controls all the sea. Just one. One angel. That's 70% of the earth. God will turn his back till his wrath that should have gone to man is unleashed on Christ. And the devil was speaking to them, kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him. Because the devil feels if it's a seed, kill it. But the death of the seed is the beginning of a new life. Except a grain of wheat first falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But when it falls to the ground and dies, it brings forth much more in 60s, in 100s. What the devil thought is your greatest problem is the medium where your life begins from.
Yes, sir.
That's the way it works. The seed we carry grows more in adversity. That's the greatest miracle ever. Can only imagine it.
Can only imagine it. Think about it. The Holy Ghost was there. Just a breath from him. They were all, in fact, when they met him and said, "We see Jesus of Nazareth," he said, "I am he." They all fell. It was not for lack of power. It was power under control. In submission to the will of the Father. In John 19:30, he begged them, "I'm thirsty. What's the least you should give a man who is dying?" They use a stick, put a sponge inside a vinegar, took it in his mouth. He died naked. That's the greatest wonder. And that's why that woman says, "We'll never know how much it costs to see my sins nailed on the cross." It cost God. God. It cost God. God. He had to come and die. "God, if you are here, rescue me from this now. Let this be over." Let it run its course. Go and ask all the teachers of the law. They were even the ones saying, "Kill him." I'm saying your case can be so bad, even the church will not understand. That's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you. They say, "If we have been praying for you, by now we should begin to see it." But it has not run its course. First time my spiritual father came to minister in our ministry, or when he prayed for me, he prayed, "Call me outside, lay the hands, prophesy that God will give you a car." It took about 3 more years before the car came, or 4. Because the season has not run its course, that does not mean the word is not effective. There are times prophecies, they are not failing, they are waiting for a season to run its course. Look at your neighbor. Tell the neighbor, "Do you know you are not failing? Do you know?" Look at another neighbor again. Tell the neighbor, "Do you know you are not failing?" Maybe you leave your seat and walk somewhere and just look at someone prophetically and say, "Do you know you are not failing?" Sometimes the devil feels the best thing I can do is to cut this person. Let's cut this person off. Let's cut it. But there is hope for a tree. Though it be cut down, if the stump remains in the earth at the scent of water, there might be dryness now and it looks like it is over. But water is coming. What seems dead is only hidden in the earth. Water is coming. And sometimes people are living their lives, say, "This one is cut down, it's finished. And when there's problems, adversity has passed. Many of them have lived their life, they've enjoyed themselves and all that. But just when they think it is over and that's the peak, then water comes. And the man for whom they said it is over begin to spring forth again. Even Samson, the hair grew. Even Samson grew faster than normal. Even Samson. To tell you that God doesn't leave his people. He doesn't. Sit down for a minute. The reason why I am burdened about this teaching is that this is my route. I can now not get here and tell you that it will always make sense. If you know how long I have cried about this, because leadership is a bit tough. And you don't want to lead God's people by logic. that there are times sincerely I will feel that because I love you, all I want to do is to lay hands on you and say, let the ministry go. And when as I come, you are 1,000. But it's not going to happen. Because that route is not for men that will last. That is the truth. I heard T.D. Jakes say that for the first 10 years of their ministry, they didn't have up to, 20 members? 10 years. Sphere of Light will be 5. Has God not been good? 10 years. That's why when you now see results that others didn't see. What we, if you go and read well to see that as at that point they know what you don't know, and yet they didn't get the results, it will make you humble yourself that the secret of the result is not my knowledge. So when you make boast in the one who is able to do it again. Not in the knowledge with which I can use to reproduce. The one who is able to. If T.D. Jakes said for 10 years, our church attendance is present from 2 women, 1 grandma with her grandchildren, and some men. 10 years. You now say, we are starting this work now. Why? But if you look at T.D. Jakes now, you will never really believe that a time like that once exists. And that's why I say, don't exaggerate your problem. It is called light affliction. It is not as serious as you think. And just hold on. Just so you know how light it is. I gave this illustration. You see a woman in labor room trying to push. My husband, I will not come close to you again. 2 months after delivery. How far? She has forgotten. In fact, it doesn't take 2 months to forget. Once they see the baby, your pain is swallowed up. This is the reason why some people fall off after prosperity. Because they forget that they think the knowledge of the pain will keep them. It doesn't. That's why you can beat a thief in a street now that is stolen. Next week he will come back and steal again. And while you are beating him, say, what I'm telling you is that your pain should not be exaggerated. It is not your pain that keeps you humble. It is unto him that is able to keep us from falling. I will never forget this because I know what it means to be broke. I will always be merciful. You will not be merciful because you will forget. It is the nature of man to forget. What I'm saying is that don't anchor what the Holy Ghost will do on your pain. Don't worship your pain. I know what it is to go to you. It is unto him. It is unto him. Sometimes it is when the pastors reminded me that, you know, there was a time that I don't remember again. But in those times, maybe I cried. I'm saying even your tears are light. When the season of God's manifestation comes, it will swallow it. It's just like seeing singles who can't wait to be married. When you are married, sometimes you say, I need some ventilation. One of the pastors was telling me yesterday, say, I know that the reason why you are sitting in one place, because you are a married man. I say, it's true. If not by now, I'll be in Kaduna, I'll be in Kano, I'll be in Jigawa, planting churches. I share this story with you. Beg my wife, I'm going to the prayer room. We have a moment of praying together. But now I want to pray. So you wait. Normally it should be 3 hours, but I will do 2 and I will come out. I will come out of that place and meet her at the door. Sleeping on the floor, waiting for me to come out. Ha! Marriage. When I tell the boys before getting married, I'm busy, do not disturb. Nobody nears my door. But this species. Go, babe, I just want to make sure you are fine. Do you want water? Ah! I'm saying even the single days you can't wait to get out of. You better enjoy it. Marriage is beautiful, it is sweet, but ask those who are married. You don't believe. Oh, I love my wife. To the moon and back. But the truth of the man, and ask her too, she will tell you. Maybe I should give her mic. There will be an aspect of the home. Because I'm a troublemaker. Me too, there are times I see her praying, I will carry duvet and go and tie her neck. Me too. Just so you know. Maybe at that point you say, I miss those days where I'll just lock my room and just. That's the least of the things I do. That's the very least. You can look at me and say, Apostle, she knows what she's thinking. Now she's remembering many things that I can't remember. Because the one who is doing it can't remember. Don't rush. You will miss this season. It is more interesting than you think. For instance, I love that. If people come around you to be your friends now, the chances are high that they love you. Because to love somebody at going through what you are going through, it has to be real. But if you start sharing 1 billion online, there might be scarcity of true friends. Chances are very high that those who laugh with you are really happy. And those who cry with you are pained by what pains you. These are luxurious commodities as you go higher. The chances are very high that the higher you go, the more the scarcity of what is genuine. You may only have praise singers because everybody wants your favor. Even correction is a luxurious commodity. If you come and give me, for instance, $1 billion, I will still correct you. I have said it, you know me. But I will check. $1 billion. It will take God being formed in me to look at you and say, go away with your money. Your money perish with you. Unless you change, it will take God. You can move and go to the market. Nobody is trying to tear your clothes. When you get anointed as you want, you don't have that luxury. You can't even walk in daytime. Some of you still buy roasted corn and pack. But when God placed the light on you like you want, the person selling roasted corn will put everything in your car. All the market women, enjoy your ordinariness while it lasts. I was one of my friends in his house, very close friends. I sat down, we're three, with my short knicker, remove my shirt. We're eating eba. The wife was the one serving us. The boys with me were surprised. This is a very scarce commodity. Many of the new friends I have now, they are too apostolic about me for me to be free. This is the only place. I have videos of myself and him on my phone fighting Chinese. I promise I will suffocate his neck so that blood will stop flowing to his brain. Then he will pass out. Then I will now wake him up. Just so you know, and this is not 2 years ago, it's last week. I know you want to get out of this season, but there might be a few wisdom to pick in it. Don't be in a hurry. Let God finish. There are many people who married in a hurry, and after the first year, they wish they were not married. They wish they are not married. Some of you may not even have friends that you can say, let's go to the beach and play as pastors. What you are calling small may be the greatest wonder. Before you cry, hear God. Before you say, God, let me be married in 2023, or else I will be here, God. Maybe the person you will even marry has not even come around you yet. And I've said it to you, if you miss it, you will know you did. And somehow the devil will make sure you know who you should have married. And if it is not dealt with, it's just a matter of time, you will fall into adultery. No, you don't believe. You know, people don't give this gist. I say, I've seen things. There's a new version of Christianity that sees God as powerful and mighty only when things go the way we like. But what about the way He likes? If you come to a place and you see a child crying and a nurse is dressing the wound, using iodine, cutting wool, scraping the surface, pressing out the pores. Say, why is she wicked? I share the story. Somebody did something very wicked to one of my boys in the orphanage, a 7-year-old boy. Said the boy used to steal. Held the boy by the hand. Dragged the boy towards a cold pot. You will not die for your children. You didn't say that, amen? Place the boy's hand on the cold pot and roasted the hand. The two hands. I got to that place. I said, what's smelling? For days, it was not dressed. What's smelling? I saw where they isolated him. I said, he's the one. Come here, what's wrong with you? When he came close to me, the smell covered me. I look at his arm, pulse. The kind of pain I saw that day dressing the boy's wound, I pray never to see it again. We had to remove all the first layer of the skin. He cried till there was no more tears. And all he was doing now was shaking. If probably somebody met us doing just that without knowing the previous story, you say we hate him. There are times that it looks like God is wounding you, but he's trying to heal you. One of the things God does for those he loves, the moment he sees that something has become an Isaac, he will lose it. That is, your love has moved from God to it. It's not going to allow anything to take its place in your heart. You need to repent. Because God is using you to display his wisdom, but you are saying you are tired. You were not even born in the manger. Nobody has slapped you right and left. It's just a friend who looked down on you because you didn't have a car. Can you go through what Jesus went through? Somebody look down on you and say, can your life change? I want to say it again. You are not failing. Stop looking for the stories of people that are not so good to encourage yourself. Be encouraged in the Lord. Because you will not always find people who have your story. What I'm telling you is that if I share the story of the small days and it always, you are always happy whenever I share, it's a weakness, not a strength. It's because you still need human witnesses. I want you to shout it loud so the devil will hear. I am not failing. Okay. Let's take it a step higher. You will shout it again so the devil will hear. I am not backward. Because some of you actually believe you are. And you think you are trying to catch up. Say it again. I am not backward. I am not behind in life. I am where God wants me to be. I am the demonstration of God's wisdom. His wisdom is being manifested through my life. So if people don't understand, it's okay. The wisdom of God is complicated. So I understand. Sphere of Light Church. I know you desire that we have gone further than this, that we have some things. What we don't have today, we will have tomorrow. But we also acknowledge that we are not where we used to be. And we are not failing. We are not failing. We are in God's agenda. It may look slow, but it is steady. It is steady. It is steady. I didn't know I've passed my time, and I apologize for that. In 1 minute, I want to say, God, thank you for where I am in life. Thank you for the lessons, for your wisdom, for your hand. Thank you. Thank you for where I am in life. Thank you. For the lessons we are learning steadily. For the wisdom you are instilling into my life steadily. Thank you. Thank you. I want to say it better. Thank you. I know I'm not failing. I appreciate you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Let me leave you with this.
Though weeping endures for the night, joy comes in the morning. There is a dimension of joy about to break out, that the pains of the night you remember no more. But the way to come out of a night season is with praise and gratitude. Share it is a man who is alive that knows there's night. Those who are dead have gone into their sleep. How many of you are grateful for life? How many of you are excited? How many of you are saying, thank you, Jesus? I saw a movie years back about a child. It's just a general movie, not a spiritual. But I just picked a lesson from it. The child was born and the mother said to the child that when the gods came to us, they left us with a weapon that cannot be destroyed. And for years, the child would go to a room and see a bow and say, this is the weapon that cannot be destroyed. One day, the child was fighting with it. And the bow broke. And the mother said to the child, actually, you are that weapon. And that's the word I'm telling somebody this morning. You think it is in things. It is in you. You are. Amen, amen. I believe that this message, Wonders in Heaven, was given to me by God so that His children can enter into His wisdom. And the result will show. I love you, love of Christ. God bless you.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME. To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.